Hi, everybody. This is Laurie Handlers, and you are listening now to Tantra Cafe, a program for spiritual enlightenment. I'm your host, and you're listening to bbsradio.com. If at any time during the show you'd like to call in, the numbers to call in the U.S. are 888-228-4494 or 877-489-6350. That's worldwide, the second number. U.S. and Canada was the first number. Or you can chat with me on BBS Fast Chat. If you look at the right side of the BBS Radio website, you will see Fast Chat somewhere down the column a little bit, and you can write me a quick note if you'd like. Anyway, tonight for the appetizer, I want to talk a little bit about Tantra and childbirth, because my guest tonight is somebody who has been a doula, somebody who has been really involved in childbirth. And something that I heard her say at a recent panel that we were on was that her experience of tantric ecstasy, tantric bliss, the feeling that she was totally connected with the universe, was during an orgasmic state she had while giving birth. So I'm telling you this because we have a lot to hear from her this evening when she talks about this. And for those of you who are mothers, or those of you who would be mothers, it is said that after the pushing and some of the... Now, I'm not a mother, so I'm only speaking secondhand. I have to be really honest with you here. But it is said that after all the pushing and the sweating and the hours of labor, etc., when the child is actually coming through the birth canal, many women experience this like the big O, like an amazing orgasm. So I'm told, at least from my guest this evening, that having a child is, it's possible that having a child can be a very tantric experience, a very cosmic, connected experience with the lower chakras, with the sex area and the first chakra, the tailbone area, all of this being something that's an amazing tantric experience. So that's why I'm bringing it up as part of my appetizer for this evening. Hopefully that has sparked you, some curiosity in you, maybe some, maybe enough to call tonight, which would be really great. This is my last live show before I go to India for 5 weeks. So you'll be hearing other shows when you tune in next week. Fabulous lineup I have of guests, and they're all pre-recorded. You wouldn't be able to call in. Anyway, without further ado, I want to tell you a little bit about my guest. My guest's name is Melissa Love, and Melissa is a sexual healer and intimacy coach in private practice in New York City. And as I've already tipped you off a little bit, teased you a little bit, Melissa comes from the world of natural childbirth. For many years, she's been a childbirth educator, a doula, a birth coach. Maybe you've never heard the word doula before, so we'll ask her to explain that. And she's been on the path to becoming a midwife. And she's earned certifications as clinical hypnotherapist, Reiki master, and she's done some training in shamanic and other healing modalities. She leads women's circles and healing circles. So, Melissa, are you there?
I am here.
Good.
Hi,
welcome,
Laurie,
to Tantra Cafe. Hi.
Thank you. It's great to be here. And hi, everybody.
You're welcome. So this, you know, I talked about some stuff that you talked about. And we won't, maybe we should start with that, because you said that that was, it's my understanding, and maybe I got it wrong, but it's my understanding that your original interest in Tantra had something to do with your background of being a, you know, being a doula or your own birth. I'm not really sure which came first, so let's just start at the beginning. How did you get interested in Tantra? And whatever you have to tell us how, you know, the path of that, please do. And I'll stop you in between if I don't understand something or I think the guests need more clarification.
Okay. Well, you know, I don't know where I first heard the word Tantra. But when I first, in my first major serious relationship. I knew that this man that I'm with and I could go way further than anybody in, that I had ever thought possible. And I didn't know what that really meant, but I knew something about being able to go to places with a partner sexually that that you couldn't do on your own. And
okay.
And that's what sparked it. And then it must have been many years later when I probably saw the book Sexual Secrets. There may have been a reference to Tantra in that. And then with that partner, we explored through sexuality, deepening our relationship. And that's kind of how we looked at it. Until many years later when, around the time of the birth of that child, that you referred to, I think we were already doing things that were tantric related or Taoist related, doing practices that were about, expanding the orgasm, about retaining ejaculation fluids, mm-hmm. and things of that sort, and bringing conscious awareness into our lovemaking. And then, yes, it was with the birth of that child, although I think that I had already been opened sexually anyway.
Okay.
I think it kind of requires an open sexuality to be able to even think about those things. So there was some opening that had already occurred somewhere in my life. And
now, you know, let me just stop you for a second, because when people ask me how long I've been practicing Tantra, I say I've been practicing since 1996 consciously, but I've been practicing much longer than that. When I look back now at what I've learned in Tantra, I already was practicing it unconsciously since the 60s. So is that something that is that sort of what you're talking about? Like, you got the book Sexual Secrets by Nick Douglas and Penny Slinger, but did that give credence to stuff you were already experimenting with?
I think so. I think you've got it on. You're on the money with that. Yeah. And I think that's true for a lot of people. You know, that we're doing something, we're on the path to doing something or dabbling or here and there, and then we find something that kind of puts it all into alignment for us, and then we really open up to whatever that is, whatever that path is that really sparks us creatively or emotionally or sexually, or, you know, and at best we're all lined up in all those ways for whatever it is we're embarking on.
Yes, yes. So, okay, so then now we've got to talk a little bit about the birth of this child of yours.
Okay.
This is, what number child was this? How many children do you have?
I have 4 children.
Okay.
And they're all grown at this point.
Okay.
But it was the birth of, all my births were empowering. I found childbirth to be the most empowering experience of my life. With the birth of my first child and just the power of my body to do what it knew how to do without me having to think about it too much. And I was into natural childbirth, so I was into the feeling. I was into not numbing myself in any way to the experience. And my fourth child, the birth of my fourth child was very much about having been left alone for a long time, what seemed like a long time, because people were very busy. The people around me were very busy, and I was actually in a hospital, and the staff was incredibly busy that day, and they left me alone, and I was very fine with that. And I felt very confident and safe, and it didn't matter where I was. I felt very confident and safe. And the birth of that child was all about being left alone and allowing my body to do what it knew how to do beyond anything it had done before in terms of my mind working with it, or in terms of my mind not working with it, in terms of everything happening the way it would happen to an animal on its own. An animal goes into a dark, quiet place, and she has her baby. She has her puppy. Mm. She has her calf. She has her deer, fawn. And that's what that experience was like. So the fact that I was left alone and allowed to be with myself and trusting the process and trusting my body and knowing that my body knew exactly what it had to do. This was my fourth baby, and I didn't have any fear whatsoever.
That's and, beautiful.
Yeah, and so I remember parts of it being very intense when it got to the end. In the last hour or so, it was quite intense. The sensations were very powerful. And the best thing I could do was relax.
Amazing, and beautiful.
And contrary to something you said, and contrary to what a lot of women are encouraged to do.
Yeah, no pushing.
I did not push.
I knew you were going to say that.
I did not push. There's no reason to push until that baby is ready to come out. And
right.
one way to look at that is when someone is constipated, you can't push it out by forcing it to come out until it's ready to come out and you relax.
Right.
And then you defecate. So in terms of birthing a baby, it's not until the baby is crowning that there's a need or the reflex or the desire, the overwhelming desire to push once, twice, maybe three times. And that's really all it takes for birth in its most ideal setting. That's all it takes. Is just a few pushes. So it was during this period where I was in very intense labor, and the most comfortable position I could be in was sitting with my legs crossed, with my spine as straight as I could manage, which was very straight, and sitting straight up was the most comfortable position. I think part of it was having, because I was making contact with the floor of my pelvis, with my genitals on the pillows that I was sitting on, that I was even more in touch with the sensations. And that contact, as well as all the things that I described before, being in a darkened room, feeling relaxed, feeling safe, trusting my body. In that last hour, I had the most delicious, juicy, intense orgasms of my life. And I was just going I was on the best ride of my life in terms of the sensations in my body.
Mm-hmm.
And there was a lot of pressure and a lot of delicious sensation with that. So, and there really aren't enough words to describe that experience other than it was just the most delicious experience that I had ever felt in my body. It opened me up to, so much more sensation.
From then on,
the postpartum period was over, and I went about with my life something had been awakened inside me, that even though I had been maybe a little progressive in my sexuality because of, you know, the path that I had been on or the interests that my partner and I had,
mm-hmm.
And there was some an openness there in my sexuality, even though I already had that, this took me like 3 giant steps forward.
Mm. That's really, it's just, it's beautiful to hear you describe. It's amazing. I've never, I personally have never felt lack for not having chosen to have children. Mm-hmm. But when I heard you describe this the first time, I thought, maybe I've missed something. I have to tell you, you know, it was just like I never heard anyone, and even now as you describe it, I never heard anyone describe childbirth quite the way you have. I mean, I've heard mothers say, you know, oh, it was the most amazing moment of my life. But the way you describe it, it's like, I feel like, oh, wow, I missed this peak experience. I don't know if I would have had the experience you had, but the way you describe it, it feels really good. it feels good to me. It feels good to my body to hear it.
Mm-hmm.
So that was the thought I had when I first heard you talk about it. I went, oh, listen to this. Maybe I really missed something here. So, you know, now I've had a midwife on the show before who you probably know, Sherry Winston.
I do know Sherry.
And she talked about that being, you know, one of the steps to her path to Tantra. But nobody has ever described their childbirth to me the way you just described it to me and my listeners, you know, to everybody about that. So that's just amazing. So you could never go back. It sounds like you had a huge paradigm shift, like a cosmic shift, and you could never go back to being who you were before the birth of this child. Like you all of a sudden.
Well, it's kind of like that with the birth of every child. you can't. You're never that person anymore.
Right.
You're just not. I wouldn't say I had a huge paradigm shift at
no.
all. But you know it because it was my body doing what my body knew how to do. It was, you know, it was a beautiful, wonderful, powerful experience. The way birth is meant to be for each of us, and or the way it was meant to be for me.
Yes,
I really should say the way it was meant to be for me, and it's a powerful experience for any woman having a baby, no matter how she has it. And every woman's birth is the way it's supposed to be for her, and every baby is born the way that baby is supposed to come into this world, whether drugs are used or there's a cesarean or there's forceps or it's natural birth. Every birth is done the way it's supposed to happen. That's it.
Beautiful.
My experience was that.
Mm-hmm.
And I just lost my train of thought what I was going to say.
That's okay, because we're going to actually take a break in a moment. So
okay.
you can relax for a minute while I give some credit to our sponsors and let people know who they're listening to and what we're talking about, and then we'll be back. So you're listening to Tantra Cafe. I'm Laurie Handler, your host. I'm here with my guest, Melissa Love, who is on the show tonight from New York City. And Melissa is a sexual healer and an intimacy coach in private practice, and we're going to eventually get to that, but we're talking about some huge awarenesses that she got in terms of childbirth, and we'll trace her path and see how that led to what she's doing now. So please stay tuned. We'll be right back. If you want to call in, you can call 888-228-4494 in the USA or Canada, and we'll speak to you very soon. Please stay tuned.
Are you feeling like you just don't get it? All this talk about sex and love, love and sex, feeling like all people ever think about and talk about is sex. Maybe you are longing for a more spiritual sexual connection. Hey, maybe you are just totally confused about all of it. Lori Handler's new book, Sex and Happiness, The Tantric Laws of Intimacy, puts the innocence and love back into sex, and it gives Tantra the respect it truly deserves. In this book, you will discover a wonderful meditation on self-love. You will also find fun new ways to develop an intimacy with yourself, whether or not you have a partner. And now, for only $19.99, you can get your copy of Sex and Happiness, The Tantric Laws of Intimacy. Right now, go to www.sexandhappiness.com and order your copy. Give yourself the gift.
That's sexandhappiness.com.
Are you someone who's looking for more pleasure in your life and you've never heard of Eve's Garden? Eve's Garden is a comfortable and elegant environment for women to explore the tools of pleasure and other educational materials. These materials enhance mind, body, and spirit. Eve's Garden encourages women to take responsibility for their own sexuality and clearly understand that bodily pleasure and spiritual joy are one and the same. While in New York City, you can visit the store at 119 West 57th Street, Suite 1201. And now, for a limited time, you can get a 15% discount on everything in stock if you go through evesgarden.com/tantracafe. Go there now. Well, welcome back, everybody, to Tantra Cafe. This is Laurie Handlers, your host, and you're listening to bbsradio.com, and I am on the air tonight with Melissa Love, who's a sexual healer and an intimacy coach, and she's just described to us her natural childbirth processes and how amazingly tantric or Taoist those were, or whatever we want to call them, that they really expanded her awareness, and we're back, and I think we have a caller. Krishna, are you there?
Yes, I am.
Great. So I'm on the show with Melissa Love.
Yeah, I was just hearing her description, and then the computer shut off. So I missed half of her description of her experience. So I have
how did that sound to you?
Well, from what I heard, it sounded like a beautiful experience. Just going into having the body do its natural process.
Yeah, is there anything you want to ask her about that? Or ask, you know, is there any questions you have for her about that?
Well, my question is, has she come across the research that has said that since the Kegels exercise was introduced, that the number of cesareans has actually increased by something like 60 or 70%?
Melissa, are you familiar with this?
Well, no, I'm not familiar with that. However, is the correlation because of the Kegels or because of technobirth? I mean, culturally, there have been way more cesareans in the past 30 years because medications and trends towards cesareans and trends towards having C-sections.
Yeah, I've heard that actually people want to schedule. They want to know when they're going to have their baby, so they just go ahead and schedule it. It's like it's convenient. Cesareans are convenient.
Yeah, people don't necessarily realize that having a cesarean is major abdominal surgery that requires general anesthesia. And, you know, it makes the entire postpartum period that much more intense.
And traumatic.
And traumatic to the body, yes.
Yeah,
so
Krista,
go ahead.
Yes, cesarean has so much I've been said, told that the experience of actually breaking through does something for the fetus that the cesarean doesn't give the child the same experience.
Well, you know the story. I mean, since my company is Butterfly Workshops, many, many people have sent me this story about that moth. I forget what the name of the moth is. It's that big, beautiful moth. And it talks about a man who sees the moth struggling to get out of the chrysalis or out of the pupa, and he clips a little hole. He snips a hole so that the moth can push its wings through, and that the moth comes out and it's crippled because the whole process was pushing to make the wings expand and make the whatever their blood is go through the wings and everything, and the man robbed that moth of the process. So it's probably the same in the human process.
Yeah.
Well, once again, I would just like to emphasize that the natural process is the optimal way for any process that we go through in our bodies or in our emotional development. The natural process is the optimal way. Nonetheless, every baby does emerge into the world somehow. Whether they go through the intense squeezing, the contracting, and the releasing that is experienced through the birth canal, or not, they emerge into the world the way nature really has decided they're going to emerge.
That's great. You know, I love that. You just take all the onus off every choice that anybody makes or any way that it is. It's just like you make it all right, Melissa. That's very tantric, by the way. That's beautiful. Well, we're going to go back to some of your history and stuff in terms of your past. So, Krishna, I'm going to sign off with you if that's okay.
That's fine.
All right, good. Thank you for calling in this evening. It's wonderful to have you.
It's wonderful to be able to call in.
That's great.
Thank you so much, Krishna.
All right.
Thanks. Bye-bye. Bye. We'll talk to you soon. Okay. So, okay, Melissa, so we're back to, your path. And as I understand it, like, you don't actually participate in the birthing process anymore. Like, that's something that you let go of because some other things happened for you. So do you want to talk about that a little bit? Like, you had some big process with an Indian saint, yeah?
Yes. Yes, I work with Swami Kaleshwar, who is a living saint, living in South India. And I went through something called the Holy Womb Chakra Process. And the Holy Womb Chakra Process is a meditative process that requires recitation of mantras and the use of a yantra to purify the Holy Womb energy. The chakra system that Swami Kaleshwar uses or teaches is similar to the standard 7 chakra system that we all know, but different. And in the Holy Womb process, the process is all about purifying the womb energy, which is also the sexual energy. And whether you're male or female, you have a womb energy, and you have a womb chakra. And women and females are connected through their womb, and males or men are connected through their mother's womb. So everyone has been born the way nature has wanted them to be born, and we are all connected to a womb, whether it's our own or our mother's. So when I engaged in that process, it was introduced to me as, when I was still a doula, it was introduced to me as a process that a pregnant woman can go through, and she can recite these mantras while she's pregnant and have an enlightened child. And some of the mantras are also good for a couple when they're wanting to conceive a child, that they can say these mantras, and in the conception of the child, it can cause have the same effect, bring in a divine soul, an evolved soul being. So when I heard that, everything lit up inside me, and I said, yes, I need to learn this. I can bring this to my clients, and you know, one of the other benefits is that, you know, if you're not pregnant or wanting to be pregnant, you'll receive enlightenment. So I was all down for that one. And I began the process on the full moon 2.5 years ago. And shortly after beginning that process, my world changed. I had been very involved in childbirth. My identity was all around childbirth and my desire to become a midwife, and work had been really slow, and I was encouraged to pursue some other channels in terms of a client base, and to start just putting myself out there as a healer, and I was already a Reiki master at that point, and so I did that. I was a Reiki master and a hypnotherapist and a spiritual counselor, and I put myself out there as that, and I quickly started having a lot of work. And I also had added one of my passions, which I was moving towards doing a lot with my pregnant clients, was to look at their sexual energy and to see what was amiss between the couple, what was amiss in their own sexuality, because what I had been seeing was the births that were most difficult for my clients. I noticed a correlation between energetic stuckness around their sexuality.
Sure.
And
sure.
Difficult births. And my own personal path with Tantra and Taoist techniques, you know, had kind of enlightened my awareness about that. And my work as a doula enlightened my awareness about that. So I was already beginning to put some of that together to work with my clients around their sexual energy. And my work with childbirth was a little slow, and so I started just kind of putting myself out there as a sexual healer, hypnotherapist, and Reiki master, and I quickly got very busy with people who were very interested in sexual healing. And I found that I was able to address those issues in a very clear, clean way. That was beyond my own, whatever sexual stuff I had had. Lack of clarity around sexuality was gone for me, and I became very clear about my place in my sexuality, in my body, in the world. And just on an energetic level, just extremely clear about that. And it gave me the facility to begin working with people in those sensitive areas.
So
yes.
I want to ask you a couple of questions about
mm-hmm.
this. Go ahead. I'm sorry. I didn't mean to cut you off.
Go ahead, ask.
Well, it's amazing. So this holy womb chakra process that you studied with Swami Kaleshwar, first of all, where was it? Did it happen in New York? I mean, you weren't in India, you told me.
No, I was not in India. I was not in India.
Where did this happen?
It happened here in New York.
Okay.
I had met Swami Kaleshwar in 2000 when Alan Steinfeld and Paula Gloria brought him to New York.
Oh, okay.
And there was a very brief one evening talk with Swami at Washington Square Church,
uh-huh.
and with a small gathering of people, and I went to see him with my family, and then had stayed in touch with Alan and Paula about Swami over the years. And it was 2.5 years ago that one of Swami's senior students came to New York, who I had met through those channels,
mm-hmm.
and offered me this process.
Wow.
He came to New York, we just saw each other socially, and he said, "I have something that I think you'll like." And I said, "Yes, I want it." And he gave me a little bit of information about it. And I started the process. And when I started that process, things changed. It was later on that when I learned more about what I was doing, that it all made sense. Because I thought I was doing something for people to have, help people have enlightened children. And the more I got into the womb process, the more I discovered that it's really about purifying one's sexual energy.
And there are
benefits as well for pregnancy and childbirth.
Yeah. This is amazing. Melissa, this is a wonderful story. Of course I knew Alan and Paula had something to do with it. I mean, Alan and Paula have something to do with everything that happens
right.
in New York
right.
City.
No.
And for anyone listening, Alan and Paula have both been my guests on the show. Alan actually helped me introduce me to BBS Radio, but also he was the very first guest on Tantra Cafe. And Paula has been my guest twice. We had two really amazing shows. And, they also love India as much as I do. And I'm thinking, should I go see Swami Kaleshwar this time while I'm in India? But that, you don't have to answer that. I mean, that's just, if I'm feeling
the call,
yes. I'll go.
Yeah. Do not hesitate.
If I'm feeling the call, I'll go. But this is amazing. Yeah. So were you the only student in this process at the time?
No. Well, I was the only student that I knew.
Oh, okay. Like it wasn't, you didn't sit in a classroom.
I did not sit in a classroom. I had a private, I had a private initiation from a friend of mine who had recently been initiated into the process. It was when the when Swami first released the process in
Got
July
it.
Of 06, I think, 05 or 06. And, my friend, Lothar, came from India, a few weeks later. And introduced me to the process, and that's when I began. So it was not a workshop that was happening here.
Yeah.
But for anybody who's interested, there are initiations happening here now regularly because we have a community here.
Wow,
now,
I'm
people
interested.
Who had all been kind of out in the, we all felt that we were out in the desert and didn't know each other and
uh-huh.
now have kind of come together. And over, through Swami's work, and we have a lovely, growing community.
Well, let me ask you how people can get in touch with you before we take our next break. How can people get in touch with you if they want to get in touch with you, and they want more information, and they want to also know about this community? Because I'm now interested. And
okay.
If Krishna's still on the phone, he's probably interested too.
Okay.
If he's still listening, yeah.
Sure. So I can be reached through my website, which is enterbeloved.com. Enter
Wonderful.
Beloved. It's one word, enter beloved.
Okay, good. Enterbeloved.com. That's very beautiful. Enter beloved. That's like so welcoming. as the beloved. Beautiful.
Inspired by my favorite poet of all times, Rumi.
Yeah, enter beloved. Beautiful.
And I'll give my phone number.
Okay.
646-861-1910.
Good. And if you've just tuned in, you are listening to Tantra Cafe. My guest tonight is Melissa Love. She's talking about this amazing process that she learned, the Holy Womb Chakra process from Swami Kaleshwar. And this is Tantra Cafe, and we're going to take a break for our sponsors, and we're going to hear some music, and we'll be right back. Please stay tuned. If you want financial advice on how to plan for the future, I know exactly who you should call. My friend Jeff DeLone. Jeff's worked with over 300 individuals, professionals, and corporations in the past 20 years. He helps clients develop strategies for estate planning, investments, and retirement. Jeff DeLone is located in Newtown Square, Pennsylvania. But wherever you are in the United States, you can reach Jeff at 610-356-1254. Or you can email him at jdelone@delonefinancialgroup.com. That's jdelone@delonefinancialgroup.com.
Securities and investment advisory services are offered through FSC Securities Corporation. Member FINRA SIPC. Jeff DeLone is a registered representative with FSC Securities Corporation. DeLone Financial Group is not.
Okay, we're back, everybody. You're listening to Tantra Cafe. This is Laurie Handlers, your host. And you just heard a nice piece of music, a lovely piece of music. It's called After the Moon, and it's by a group called Upanishad. And I think that's like a play on Upanishad. It's Upanishad on the Lover's Lounge CD. I used that particular piece of music at my Gate dinner, which is an amazing feast that we have at my second level course called Ecstasy, where the men feed the women, and then the women feed the men, and people learn boundaries around feeding each other and asking if they can feed each other. There's no utensils. We start with dessert. We do everything Mom said we couldn't do at dinner. So it's like a lot of fun, and that's why I played the music, actually, because it was Lover's Lounge, and Melissa's last name is Love. Anyway, and I'm here with my guest, Melissa Love, and Melissa has just told us about this amazing Holy Womb Chakra process that she learned from Swami Kaleshwar from the south of India, and we're back. So now we're at the enlightened womb. We're at the enlightened stage of this amazing process that you've learned. And how do you bring this to your current work, Melissa?
Good question.
Yeah.
I bring it to my work through my own practice of the spiritual practices that I'm doing now just have deepened my connection with myself and with Mother Divine and with the universe. And, you know, it comes through what I do. It's just like whatever our practices are, they come through. I think that, you know, what happened for me was that once I began this process, and the more I delved into and committed to doing the mantras and having that be a focus for myself, the more available I have become to sexual energy. The more available I have become to healing and working with others in distress with their sexual energy, in harmony with their sexual energy, in the desire to explore boundaries, fetishes, fantasies. And this is some of the work that I do with my clients. So some of my work with my clients is strictly around healing sexual pain, grief, trauma, drama around sexuality.
And it's all stored in the sexual chakra,
even if it's not around sexuality.
All of that stuff you're describing is stored in the second chakra, even if it's about the school bus splashing mud.
Yes.
You know, it's not around a sexual issue, yeah. So
mm-hmm.
I just want to point that out in case anyone's listening.
Yeah,
I have no idea.
Yeah, that's a good point. It's a good point.
Yeah.
I mean, I have one of my teachers that, you know, through the healing channels, the healing training that I've done, one of my teachers says 80% of all our problems are sexual in nature.
Yeah,
emotional, physical, you know, mental, what, you know, if the well-being is out of alignment, look at the sexual energy. Look at what stuckness is going on there and how it translates into different behaviors.
Yes. Well, you know, two things. One is when I was a feminist, I was very against Freud. Mm-hmm. And when I became a tantric, I became very for Freud. So it's like one thing. You know, it was like Freud said everything was sexual. You know, all the problems mm-hmm. and things were sexual. And I now have come to see that. And then the other piece is that the sex chakra is so connected to the voice, to the throat chakra. And it's like, I always say to people, if you don't have permission to have pleasure, then you don't have permission to speak your truth.
Mm-hmm.
And vice versa, if you don't have permission to speak your truth, how can you possibly be pleasured?
Right.
You know, it's...
Yes. And if you feel you're not listened to, and where that comes from...
Yeah. You shut down, and mm-hmm. then you're shutting down. Everything's clapped shut.
Right.
So why would people seek you out? Like, what kind of people specifically would come to see you? To find you, what kinds of challenges have you worked with, and you know, who should call you?
Yeah, I've worked with people who. The first thing that's coming to mind is I had a client who felt disconnected from his partner. Like one of my first clients. Came to see me because he just felt completely disconnected from his partner, who he was committed to being with and loved, but just didn't know how to break through whatever the difficulty was in being close with her.
So that was like an intimacy issue.
Intimacy.
Mm-hmm.
Intimacy and communication.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, like you were just saying, being able to communicate your needs, being able to listen to somebody else,
mm-hmm.
being in the place of allowing that to happen rather than thinking you know or thinking you know all the answers. Just allowing that there's a desire for intimacy no matter what's going on, and getting to that place where the intimacy can flow.
Beautiful. Beautiful. And what else? What other kinds of things? Do couples come to you?
I see some couples.
Okay.
And I work with couples, you know, closely around the same kind of issues and about being seen and being heard and allowing the love to flow and moving beyond the fear of rejection or the fear of being judged, which always comes really back around to how are you judging yourself?
Right.
If you're feeling that you're being judged, how are you judging yourself? How are you judging that other person? So, you know, some of my work is about holding that space so that a lot of what I do is to hold a safe and comfortable space for people to explore areas of love, intimacy, and connection that crave attention.
Beautiful.
So sometimes with a couple, it's about reconnecting that way. Because what it was that drew them together is still there underneath, you know, life's demands, underneath that paying the taxes or getting the kids to school or paying the bills. It's still there underneath that stuff.
So if you had one message, because we're kind of reaching the top of the hour now, if you had one message to give to people, anyone listening to the show, about intimacy and sexuality, like if you had one thing you wanted to say to them about, like, you know, holding, if you were holding this space for all the listeners,
okay.
What's something, you know, what's like a tip, if you have a tip that you could give them? Because you're so, I'm asking you this because you're so amazingly, I don't even want to use the word non-judgmental. I think it's compassionate. Your whole expression is so compassionate, Melissa. So it's like, what would you say to people who, like, are a little shy and maybe are afraid to seek somebody like you out? What would you say?
Yes, yes. You know, one of my favorite tantra exercises, which is not just in tantra, but it's about being present. And I think there is tremendous power. I think the power of being present is underrated. It's so powerful that when we are present with ourselves, and once again, going underneath the self-criticism, going underneath the judgment, going underneath any part where you say no to who you really are, is the place, if it's difficult for someone to be present, it's going underneath all that stuff where there may be shyness or apprehension, to go underneath and get to that still place inside where you are totally okay, where you feel safe and okay with yourself. And when you can spend time there with yourself and you're shy about being intimate, or you're afraid about being intimate with a partner, the more time you can spend there with yourself, in that place of being present, of stilling your mind, stilling your breath, stilling your body, and cultivate that in yourself, the easier it is to be like that with someone else.
Thank you.
So if there's only one little message I can give to anyone having difficulty with intimacy is to be intimate with yourself and love
Beautiful.
Yourself from that deep place where you are totally okay.
Well, thank you, Melissa. That is beautiful. That's like a meditation on self-love. Beautiful. If you've just tuned in, or you tuned in just recently, this is Laurie Handlers at Tantra Cafe. And my guest tonight has been Melissa Love, who you can reach by going to the website enterbeloved.com. You can also reach her by calling 646-861-1910. If you're in the greater Manhattan area, she's available as a sexual healer and intimacy coach in private practice. This has been a wonderful interview, Melissa. Thank you so much for being my guest.
Thank you, Laurie. It's been a pleasure.
You're welcome. You're welcome. And for those of you listening, this is my last live show for some time to come now. There's going to be some amazing guests on my pre-recorded shows. I have Sean Roop. I have Mare Simone. I have Patty Taylor. I have Isis Phoenix. I have amazing guests coming up. Please, please listen to the shows, and I'll be back with you really soon. I'm on my way to India, and I'm saying, if you want to reach me, you can write to Laurie at butterflyworkshops.com. You can listen to past shows on tantracafe.com. And I'm saying namaste now from Tantra Cafe. Thank you, and good night.